broadcasting from Philadelphia. This is Philly Fitness and Health, Thursday, September 27, 2007. And I'm your host, Kimberly Garrison. Welcome back. Today we're going to be talking to a real Renaissance man, Rob Scott of Fundamental Shift. Rob is going to share his secrets on how to transform your life and live your dreams. Okay, well, today we want to welcome Rob Scott to Philly Fitness and Health podcast. How are you today, Rob?
I'm doing very well. Hi.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you here today. A true Renaissance man. You know, tell us about yourself. How did you evolve into, you know, growing this new business you have called Fundamental Shift?
Fundamental Shift is a coaching and consulting business, and I am deeply interested in growing and helping people move away from dysfunction. Okay. I see so much dysfunction all over the place in the world and individuals and in groups. And one of the things that I try to do is help people find higher function.
Okay. What is dysfunction? So the people are very clear about what you're talking about.
Yeah. One of the things, I just gave a talk recently, and the concept of that talk was that dysfunction arises when there's a conflict of values within any kind of system. So in the world, that's two nations that come at something from very different value systems, and we end up with wars.
Right.
In our nation, that's red versus blue states kind of coming together.
Right.
And in self, we end up with conflicting values of, say, love of money is the root of all evil, but I really want money.
Okay.
So we end up having this conflict, and it's how do I move forward if I have those conflicting values, right?
Right.
So that's one example of dysfunction.
Okay.
Other ones can just be not eating right, you know, really badly drinking too much, whatever those things might be, not running our businesses efficiently, all that kind of stuff.
So, exactly. Now, did you personally ever have any challenges with dysfunction?
Yeah, it's funny. You know, I spoke with you yesterday, and we were talking about some weight loss that I went through, and I realized how much you don't know about me. And I consider you a really good friend. And, but there's a lot of history to me that, you know, that I sort of just don't tell everybody all the time.
Right.
I, at one point, was homeless.
No.
I was very much overweight. I was addicted to drugs. You know, smoked like a chimney, drank like a fish, and all that kind of stuff, and was very, very dysfunctional.
Okay.
I'd gone through some very serious abuse as a child, and it left me without the tools to, you know, live in a way that was healthy and good. And it got so bad that I knew that if I didn't sort of write my direction, I was going to not make it. I wasn't going to be able to live. So I needed to figure out what dysfunction was in me.
Right.
And it was great to, you know, go through all these different stages of growth, because today I'm a very different person. I went from being homeless to somebody who was a vice president in technology of a company here
in Philadelphia. Right, because that's when I met you.
Right.
And that's what I know.
Yeah, and you also met me once I was a little thinner and, you know, sort of working out regularly at the gym and all that stuff.
How many years did it take for you to make this sort of transformation?
It was, you know, I guess it's been, if you talk about from when it was really, really bad, 10, 12 years.
Okay.
If you talk about quitting smoking, drinking, that kind of stuff, that's more socially acceptable but still really not highest function.
Exactly.
More like 4 years.
Okay.
So, yeah.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
Because it really says that we all have the ability, if we tap into ourselves or our own resources. Did something like a lightning bolt hit you one day and you said, aha, I know what I have to do? Or, you know, like, kind of take us through that process.
You know, it's amazing. It's really interesting how useful sort of pain can be. You know, the definition of enabling somebody is kind of like if their hand is in the fire and you're bringing ice and ointment to cool it off so it can stay in the fire, right?
Okay.
Well, everyone in my life pretty much had cut me off, and I was really out there.
Okay.
And it got so dark for me that it was really painful that I was just like, I can't continue down this way. And that was where I really made a dramatic change and sort of said, something's got to change here.
Okay.
And then you got to figure out how to change and what to change and do all that stuff.
Exactly.
And that takes some time and some learning and some growth and maturity and all that. But, yeah, I mean, that road for me was very meaningful for me. It's interesting that along the way when I got into business and started doing well in business and all that stuff, my favorite part was showing other people how to fix their own dysfunction. So I really enjoyed being a manager. I really enjoyed working with groups of people and making projects work, you know, more efficiently. And
now,
all
did
that
you
kind
go
of
to
stuff.
College? I mean, like, how
did
you
not,
go from homelessness to being a president of a company?
Right. Yeah, vice president of a company. I did not go to college. I don't have a college degree. I got a job on the very ground floor of a company. I was a temp out at Comcast, literally in the dank, dark basement filing papers.
Wow.
And I ended up overhearing in an office they were having a meeting and talking about forecasting some math numbers, and I knew how to do some of that stuff.
Okay.
And I basically bumped into the manager that was in that meeting and asked for a job and got a job there and sort of climbed the ladder.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is really, really impressive.
Thank you.
I mean, that's, you know, well, let's talk about that for a second. How important, then, is a college education?
You know, for me, it wasn't at all, really. And a lot of what I needed to do, I sort of proved myself. You know, I ended up working at Merck, and I don't believe they hire people that don't have college education. But I worked there as a temp, or, you know, a consultant, really, which they don't really care at that level. And they offered me a job to work there permanently because of the performance. So I think you can get around it. I think it might get you in certain doors and certainly networking. I think the experience of college is something that I would have enjoyed if I'd been healthier and more able to really have what that experience should have been at that age for me. But I was pretty broken back then, and I wasn't capable of doing the social things.
Right.
And, you know, all that stuff. I was doing much more dysfunctional things at
the
time.
Well, a lot of people who go to college end up doing a lot of dysfunctional things.
Right,
so,
right.
You know.
I went to college for about a half an hour, I should clarify. So I did enroll, but I dropped out very quickly.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it never impeded you from doing anything that you wanted to do in your life?
No, it didn't.
Yeah. Like, you know, you had this great VP position, and then you made a decision, oh, I'm going to go into business for myself and become an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
You know, how did you make that fundamental shift, if you will?
Right. Yeah. It's funny because I really enjoyed that job. I had a lot of friends that left that job, and they were leaving because they didn't like it or the stress was too much. I really loved the people there. I really loved the job there. But, you know, as I sort of 10 years ago or so knew what I needed to do, when I'd really done that well and kind of grown into a healthy individual you know, emotionally, mentally, physically, spiritually, all these areas.
Right.
Once I learned how to do that, it seemed much more important to me to share with other people what that is, what those teachings are. And I could do that a little bit in that old job.
Right.
But a lot of that job had other things that weren't as meaningful to me to do.
Mm-hmm.
So they were great for a while. I really grew up there. That company was kind of like my college because there were a lot of fun years there. And, you know, I really grew up at that place. I had other jobs as well, but that was a fun job. But leaving that, it was a big jump. It was really like, I don't know how I'm going to make money. I'm not going to care about that right now.
Right.
And I'm just going to kind of, you know, push my agenda, which is, you know, helping people heal and become more functional.
Right. Now, that's a scary thing, to take a risk like that, you know and trust that the universe is going to provide for you. How do people make, you know, make a decision to do that and know in your heart, I am not going to miss any meals.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep a roof over my head.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. I have that you asked that and my brain goes in like four directions. I want to talk about that a lot. I think one, you don't know.
Okay.
You have to really, you know, take the jump, and that's part of the courage that it takes, is that you don't know. I had been so far down before that I wasn't really scared about missing a couple meals, to be honest with you. You know, I was I'm pretty resilient. I'm pretty durable.
Right.
And if that was going to happen, I know I can sweep floors and get another job and start over again.
Okay.
So I had a good experience kind of crawling up the first time. I think I can do that again. So I always had that in my back pocket, and it made me feel okay. So I wasn't really scared about it. I also did it smartly. I saved up to do it. I didn't, you know,
just, I quit today.
Yeah, and you know, and in that role, a lot of the people that had a similar level role or have it in other companies, you know, they buy lots of nice stuff. They buy Mercedes and Beamers, and maybe they buy a bigger house than they can really afford and all that. I lived a very frugal life. And just for a long time, for me anyway, it hasn't been necessarily about things.
Right.
So I had some money in the bank and was able to do it pretty well.
Right. So. I just recall knowing another one of your colleagues from that company who decided he was going to move to Paris. And I'm thinking, wow, that company really has some, you know, daredevils that work for that
company. A lot of creative, really interesting, intelligent people. He's one of my good friends. So,
Manning. Yeah, I was Manning like, you know, do you speak French? I mean, you're just going to move to Paris.
He does well now, you know, really well,
That's great because he's been here, what, 2 or 3 years now?
He came back for a little while, and I think right around now he's heading back again to France. So he's going back to Paris.
Yeah, so that company has some really has attracted some really interesting people. You know, that's a wonderful thing. I think that more people would like to be able to live with that type of freedom. Now, if I was coming to you as a personal client, you know, what would be the first things that you would ask me?
You know, it's really funny. Always, it's what do you want? You know, it's really like, what is wrong today in your life? And that points out a lot of things. It points out some of the things you care about.
Right.
A lot of times what we want is not really what we want.
Right.
Sometimes we want the Mercedes, but we realize when we start going for it that that's a little more empty and we really want more time with our family or something. So I help clarify what people want and what those values are, and then we talk about real steps to achieve them. And I have, you know, very clear sort of ways to go about that for people and working with what their vision is, what their mission is, you know, what their goals and to-dos need to be to accomplish those things. And I help them stay on track.
Okay.
So some people will approach me to make more money with their business.
Right.
So I work with a lot of businesses. And that's interesting. And they end up getting more than just let's make more money. They get, how are your relationships? How do you talk to people? You know, what do you, what are these other facets of your life? How are you emotionally? You know, all that. So it's funny, what they hire me for and what they get are not always exactly the same thing, but of course I try and give them what they want, you know. But yeah, it's a full service kind of thing. I really try and help them change dramatically.
So really, it's almost it's a holistic approach to sort of revolutionizing your life, if you will.
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure. It's holistic for sure. I'm not sure that that's how I would say it, but I'm not at all disagreeing with you. You know, it's no. I mean, now that you say that, maybe I'll start using it. That's a
well, because it's all connected. Even though in our culture we tend to disconnect everything. Well, my work has nothing to do with my personal life, and you know, so forth and so on. We make all these little compartments, but they're all interconnected. And whichever one is out of balance, then you know, we've kind of upset the apple cart.
It's really neat. I mean, I'm learning here because that's a really great way to put that because. You know, we do split off into personas. I'm not exactly the same person with my mother as I am with my, you know, mate, as I am with my work and all that stuff. But we find as we start to heal and become really more whole across the board, we do become more of the same person in each of those relationships.
Right.
They do get to know more of all of us. You know, it's not like I'm hiding some stuff from my mom and some stuff from my girlfriend and some stuff from my work friends. Everybody gets to know really who I am.
Right, your authentic self.
Right,
and you can be living harmoniously and then not have all of these, what was the word that you used? Well, there's dysfunction because, you know, I want to make a lot of money.
That's right.
You know, and I don't think money's bad.
No.
You know, so that conflict that we'll have about something or, you know, feeling guilt because we feel that, you know, maybe I have too much and other people don't have it and so forth
and so on. So clarifying some of that, it becomes really important for us to move forward, and we don't understand. It can be really almost magical how when you get some of that stuff clear, how much making money becomes much easier. Things just tend to line up. So
Now I know you do a lot of seminars in Philadelphia. Do you have anything coming up soon?
I'm just scheduling stuff now. There will be, my website is right now just my own podcast and a blog.
Well, let's hit some people there.
It's my company name is Fundamental Shift and the website is fshift.com. And soon there'll be a more full-featured website, and it'll have dates of seminars and all that stuff on it. So, yeah, but definitely sign up for the podcast. There's probably 69 or 70 talks, and they're all about conscious evolution and how to meditate and, you know, how do we perform better and what are these things. So, yeah.
Great. Okay, well, any, you know, books or DVDs coming up for you? Because it sounds like, you know, you might be ready.
Yeah, I am. I'm actually writing two books right now. One is very much about my story.
Okay.
And the other one is, you know, basically really how we can end conflict in, on all different levels, all the way up to really ending wars and stuff like that. So,
well, your story sounds Oprah-worthy, if you ask me. I mean, goodness knows to... you know, to really completely transform yourself. Now, when you said you had lost weight, how much weight had you lost?
like 65 or 70 pounds.
65 or 70 pounds.
Yeah.
Now, when I look at this handsome man sitting across from me, I cannot believe that you were carrying an extra 60 or 75 pounds on your body.
Well, it's good I have pictures.
Yeah. Somebody asked you to bring them in so
right,
I can see them. Because
right.
I can't even picture that.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
And, you know, you had went from non-exercise to now. What do you do as far as your exercise regimen is concerned?
It's really funny. Me getting in touch with my body is really important to me, and it's something that I value very deeply. At the time, you know, I guess it's like 3.5 or 4 years ago now, I couldn't walk a flight of stairs without being winded and, you know, sweaty. You know what I mean? It was just
wow.
one of those things, like my just cardio was way off and
right.
I was really overweight. Now I could run a marathon right now. I do jiu-jitsu regularly. I lift all the time. You see me at the gym
yeah.
quite a bit. You know, so yeah, so I'm in great shape now, and it's just a very different experience. And
right.
It's worth more than money, you know,
okay.
to feel the way I do today.
Yeah. I think that a lot of people, they don't realize how important it is to be in contact with our physical selves. And I think that so many people are so used to being in a state of dysfunction or feeling bad, they really don't know
yeah.
what it is to feel good in their own skin.
Yeah, it's amazing. And, you know, for so many people, it's really hard to make the choices of eating better to support feeling better.
Right.
And, you know,
and, now that's great. What
right,
you just said,
right.
you know, eating better to support feeling better.
Sure. And to spend a little bit more time being active to
mm-hmm.
support feeling better.
Mm-hmm.
Right. These are selfish acts. You
right.
know, we think that there are things that are going, oh, I don't want to do that. That's going to take away. I really want the cake.
Right.
You know,
right.
But it's a selfish act to choose these other things. And when you do it for a little while, you realize that these other healthy things actually taste really good
mm-hmm.
and are a much nicer, easier way to go.
Right. Now, how was your diet before you made the transformation?
You know, I was really this filter for all things bad, you know? I mean, I was amazing amounts of sugar, amazing amounts of junk, you know,
okay.
eating McDonald's all the time, just doing really just not at all healthy.
Okay.
And now I'm completely 180 degrees away from that. It's
okay.
It's a very different.
So you get up in the morning and have wheatgrass or?
Yeah, you know, I usually make a smoothie. And,
okay.
Lately I've been doing the soy thing and
mm-hmm.
just realizing that dairy does a little something weird for me. And,
okay.
I'm eating a lot less meat now. It's not necessarily that I'm vegetarian or anything, but I just... it's agreeing with me not to eat that stuff. So I'm watching really closely what I eat
right.
because I'm interested in it and because I like it.
Right.
And I'm just at 36 years old learning to sort of spend some time in the kitchen and cook my own stuff.
Okay.
And so that's been a lot of fun. And,
right.
You know, and I just realized that when I eat vegetables and fruit and things that are whole,
mm-hmm.
you know, whole foods, I feel better.
Right. Right. It is amazing,
yeah.
you know, the difference. Like I know if I have, you know, and I still like pizza, but when I eat it, it makes me feel so sluggish
yeah.
and tired that every time I think about eating it, it's like, well, nah, I don't want to feel sluggish
right,
and tired.
Right. And that's something that I teach people is to take the whole experience of your, you know, your food experience in there. We often think it's just the taste and it's that first half hour or
right.
whatever. But it's really, do you get heartburn later? Did you not sleep as well?
Mm.
Did you feel sluggish even the next day?
Right.
So, you know, I go through that with clients that care about health and, that, you know, when we're talking about that kind of stuff, that's the things that we go over.
Right.
Yeah.
If you could leave our listeners with one secret, what would that be? Something that you've discovered?
The couple things I talked about clarifying values earlier, and that's
mm-hmm.
certainly one. Another one is really the power of defining what you want really clearly, both in writing it down and coming up with a vision. So
mm-hmm.
it's sort of like we often feel really uncomfortable in our skin now, but we don't spend the time. We spend so much time focusing on what we don't want. We don't really focus on what we do want. So saying, you know, I want to lose this much weight. I want to make this much more money. Here's how I'm going to do it. Here's when I'm going to do it. Clearly stating out what we'd really like to accomplish is a big secret. And
right.
it's not that much of a secret because
right.
people talk about it all the time, but people don't do it.
Yeah.
So actually doing that can be really powerful.
That does sound very powerful. Why is it that people do that? They'll go, well, you know, I want to get in better shape, but like, you know, I don't want to get too muscular.
Right,
it's
right,
like
right.
They don't have a muscle at all.
Right, right, right.
But they'll
yeah.
make those kind of statements.
It's very risky to go to the gym once. You might pop up and look like a huge, you know, weightlifter immediately.
Exactly.
I've never seen that problem before.
Right.
But, you know, I think it's that we rationalize the fact that we're lazy and we don't really want to get to do that. We haven't faced our issues around what we really want. And
mm.
so if we do decide that what I really want is to get in shape, that's empowering and that'll give us the freedom to say, I am going to go to the gym.
Right.
If we haven't clarified that, we're going to sit there and sort of have this mental argument that we're not as in control of as we think we are.
Right.
So, yeah. And another tip, just quickly, is,
sure,
is learning some of that inner talk. We have so much inner talk going on that doesn't support us.
Mm.
And so learning how to have what is the longest ongoing conversation we're ever going to have, the conversation with ourselves, how
right.
to have a healthy one of those so that we're picking ourselves up mentally
right.
instead of
how do we get to that
ourselves.
Point where people are sort of constantly playing these tapes in their head that are negative? Where did that come from?
We end up in these scripts and we really don't know how to do it. So we judge, as you know, it's part of our job as humans to judge things. I bump into a tree, it hurts, I want to judge that experience and not do it again, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's judgment is a good thing, but when we overly judge and become critical of the world and ourselves, a lot of times we think that serves us. We think that it's going to help us do better, but it really ends up holding us back.
Mm.
And so the first step is becoming aware that we do it and
mm-hmm.
starting to listen to our own inner talk, because a lot of us don't even know it's
right.
going on.
Right.
You know? And then after we've done that, we can start to work with just placing positive thoughts in there. You can do
right.
gratitude practices. You can do, you know, if you've defined your goals really clearly, you can support and drop thoughts in that support those goals,
mm.
you know, really clearly.
Wow. I can see that we're going to have to do a part two because you have such, you know, a wealth of information to share with our listeners, and I'm sure people are going to want more. So before we close, give everybody your website again.
It's fshift.com, and again, there's tons of talks there. Please, they're all free. Download them and check them out.
Terrific. Thanks again, Rob Scott.
Thank you very much.
Now we have our question of the week, and it's from Jesse. And Jesse says, I heard there's a new water on the market that has ingredients to suppress your appetite. What do you think about that, Kimberly? Well, yes, I've heard about this product, and it has herbal ingredients and trace minerals like chromium picolinate, and it's supposedly designed to curb your appetite. But my advice is don't waste your money. Drink regular water. At least 60 ounces of plain water, in fact, every day. That will curb your appetite. Besides, if it sounds too good to be true, you know it is. Now we have our tip for the week. If you want to save a few dollars and lose a few inches off your waist, one proven way is to cut down on dining out. U.S. restaurants are notorious for serving giant portions of food, and they make huge profits at your expense. If you really want to get a value meal, then prepare your own meals and eat at home. Thank you again for joining us, and we'll see you next week. Again, this is your host, Kimberly Garrison, signing off. And remember, be fit, be strong, and be your best.
Philly Fitness and Health is a production of the Philadelphia Daily News and Philly.com, the region's homepage. If you're in Philly, buy the Daily News and read Kimberly Garrison's column every Thursday. If you're elsewhere, find us online at philly.com and read Kimberly's weblog at www.girlfriendslockerroom.com, where you'll also find the show notes for this podcast. If you have a health or fitness question for Kimberly, you can leave it as a comment on the blog or email her at kimberly@phillynews.com. The Philly Fitness and Health theme song is performed by Al Hunter Jr. and the Philly Feed Garage Orchestra. I'm senior producer Vance Lemkuhl. See you next time at Philly Fitness and Health.